Currency Wars, The Making of the Next Global Crisis. Author, James Rickards. Your next threat. Currency wars are one of the most destructive and feared outcomes in international economics. At best, they offer the sorry spectacle of countries stealing growth from their trading partners. At worst, they degenerate into sequential bouts of inflation, recession, retaliation, and sometimes actual violence. Currency wars have happened before, twice in the last century alone, and they always end badly. Time and again, paper currencies have collapsed, assets have been frozen, gold has been confiscated, and capital controls have been imposed. And the next crash is overdue. Recent headlines about the debasement of the dollar, bailouts in Greece and Ireland, and Chinese currency manipulation are all indicators of growing conflict. The currency war, where it comes, where it goes. A currency war is fought by one country through competitive devaluations of its currency against others. It revives ghosts of the Great Depression, when nations engaged in beggar thy neighbor devaluations and imposed tariffs that collapsed world trade. It recalls the 1970s, when the dollar price of oil quadrupled because of US efforts to weaken the dollar by breaking its link to gold. Finally, it reminds one of crisis in UK pound sterling in 1992, Mexican pesos in 1994, and the Russian ruble in 1998, among other disruptions. Whether prolonged or acute, these and other currency crises are associated with stagnation, inflation, austerity, financial panic, and other painful economic outcomes. Nothing positive ever comes from a currency war. Currency war paradox. At the heart of every currency war is a paradox. While currency wars are fought internationally, they are driven by domestic distress. Currency wars begin in an atmosphere of insufficient internal growth. The country that starts down this road typically finds itself with high unemployment, lower declining growth, a weak banking sector, and deteriorating public finance. In these circumstances, it is difficult to generate growth through purely internal means, and the promotion of exports through a devalued currency becomes the growth engine of last resort. However, problems and unintended consequences of these actions appear almost immediately. To begin with, very few goods are made from start to finish in a single country. In today's globalized world, a particular product may involve US technology, Italian designer, Australian raw materials, Chinese assembly, Taiwanese components, and Swiss-based global distribution before the product reaches consumers in Brazil. Each part of the supply and innovation chain will earn some portion of the overall profit based on its contribution to the whole. The point is that the exchange rate aspects of global business involve not only the currency of the final sale, but also the currencies of the intermediate inputs and supply chain transactions. The Currency War 3. Three supercurrencies, the dollar, the euro, and the yuan, issued by the three largest economies in the world, the United States, the European Union, and China, are the superpowers in a new currency war, Currency War 3, which began in 2010 as a consequence of the 2007 depression, and whose dimensions and consequences are just now coming into focus. The world is now entering its third currency war in less than 100 years. What is clear is that, considering the growth since the 1980s of national economies, money printing and leverage through derivatives, this currency war will be truly global and fought on a more massive scale than ever. Currency War 3 will include both official and private players. This expansion in size, geography, and participation exponentially increases the risk of collapse of the monetary system, a loss of confidence in paper currencies, and a massive flight to hard assets. Given these risks of catastrophic failure, Currency War 3 may be the last currency war, or to paraphrase Woodrow Wilson, the war to end all currency wars. Currency War 3. What will you look like? The path of the dollar is unsustainable, and therefore the dollar will not be sustained. In time, the dollar will join a crowd of multiple reserve currencies, be subordinate to SDRs, be rejuvenated by gold, or descend into chaos with both redemptive and terminal possibilities. Of these four outcomes, the use of multiple reserve currencies seems least likely because it solves none of the problems of debt and deficits, but merely moves the problem around from country to country in a continuation of the classic currency war. The collapse of the dollar might be a particularly trying catastrophe of its own, or occur as part of an even larger collapse of civilization. It might merely mark a turning away from the excesses of paper money, or be a milepost on the way to a maelstrom. None of this is inevitable, yet all of it is possible. It is not too late to step back from the brink of a catastrophic collapse. Complexity starts out as a friend and ends up the enemy. Once complexity and large scale are seen to be the danger, The solution is a mixture of descaling, compartmentalization, and simplification. This is why a ship whose hold is broken up by bulkheads is less likely to sink than a vessel with a single large hold. This is why forest rangers break up large tracts of timber with barren fire breaks. Every carpenter works by the phrase, the right tool for the right job. Economists should be no less diligent than carpenters in selecting the right tools. As applied to capital and currency markets, the correct approach is to break up big banks and limit their activities to deposit taking, consumer, and few other useful services. Proprietary trading, underwriting, and dealing should be banned from banking and confined to brokers and hedge funds. The idea that large banks are needed to do large deals is nonsense. Syndicates were invited for exactly this purpose and are excellent at spreading risk. A flexible gold standard should be adopted to reduce uncertainty about inflation, interest rates, and exchange rates. Once businesses and investors have greater certainty and price stability, they can take greater risk on new investments. There is enough uncertainty in entrepreneurship without adding inflation, deflation, interest rates, and exchange rates to the list of barriers standing in the way of innovation. The US economy is guided by the Fed, has seen continual asset bubbles, crashes, panics, booms and busts in the 40 years since the United States left gold. It is time to diminish the role of finance and empower the role of commerce. Gold produces the greatest price stability in prices and asset values and therefore provides the best visibility for investors. Suggestions to reserve the impact of complexity include elimination of the corporate income tax, simplification of the personal income tax, and reductions in government spending. Opposition to ever larger government is not ideological, it is merely prudent. When the risk of collapse is in the scale itself, the first order benefits of the government's programs are dominated by the invisible second order costs. Smaller is safer. Social and financial collapses have happened many times, but are easily ignored or forgotten. Yet history does not forget, nor do complex systems refrain from doing what they want to do. Complex systems begin on benign organizing principle and end by absorbing all available energy while destroying the system itself. Capital and currency markets are complex systems and will collapse in the end unless they are broken up, contained, compartmentalized, and descaled. Currency wars are ultimately about the dollar, yet the dollar today is just a jumped-up version of a former self due to derivatives, leverage, printing, and the derogation of gold. It is not past time to save it. Still, the time grows short.